Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount South of 12th Hour in Libertyville, Texas. Today is October 22, 2016, or it is Bull 22, 2020. We'll start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, A Battle Hymn of the Republic. On us has seen the glory of the coming of the Yah. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes are at their store. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watch force of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damp. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His day is marching home. He has sounded forth the trumpets that shall never sound retreat. He is setting out the horse of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. For Yahshua is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Yahshua is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Yahshua was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let his death to make men free, for Yahshua is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Yahshua is marching on. Yahweh's covenant with Abraham, part one. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 15. Start with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So everyone that is called to the kingdom, to by the Yahweh, the Father, is called for a purpose, and this same declaration is made also for them, as was made with Abraham, that I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Yahweh Elohim, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house as mine heir. And behold, the word of the Yahweh came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Yahweh, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Yahweh that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Yahweh Elohim, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and haw, a great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and thou shalt serve them, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This is talking about Egypt now. The land that's not theirs. And he says, And also that nation whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Okay, so the Amorites are living in the promised land of Canaan that was promised to Abraham and his seed. And at verse 17, And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenzites and the Chatamonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Now how many is that? Okay, it says, and it looked like about ten of these here kings. Okay. Hagar given unto Abram. This is Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Yahweh hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Abram's wife took Hagar and her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when he saw that she had conceived and was despised in her eyes, the Yahweh had judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do unto her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of Yahweh found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way unto Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of Yahweh said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of Yahweh said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of Yahweh said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because Yahweh hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Yahweh that spake unto her, Thou Elohim seeth me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Berah-lah-roah, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham, to Abram. So he was 86 years old. Okay. End of chapter 16, covenant, token, and names are given. Start with first verse, Revelation, Genesis 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Yahweh, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Yahweh talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Yahweh said unto Abram, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Okay, so now, we had circumcision done in Kermit, Texas. And, it was set up primarily for me because I had not been circumcised up to then. And so therefore I knew when I was circumcised, I got a token of the Yahweh that I had been set aside for the same type of work that Abraham was set aside for. That's what the circumcision was for. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, a child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarai shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Isaac is promised. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto Abraham, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Yahweh said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princesses shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and Yahweh went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, in the selfsame day as Yahweh had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. Now why was Ishmael circumcised when he was not to be heir with Isaac? If Ishmael hadn't been circumcised, then his seed could not be playing the role that they're playing today, that the Muslims are playing today. It would just be another alien people that could be easily suppressed and destroyed for being against Yahweh's people. But because Ishmael was circumcised, he was set aside to play the role as the adversarial brother to his spiritual brother Isaac for today. Okay, Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from his tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my master, my Yahweh, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servants. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent under Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, can you imagine Yahweh, the king of the Father, probably with his son, Yahshua, and his number one angel, maybe Gabriel? Here they all three of them appeared in the form of just the men of this earth, and Abraham recognized them as being superior people. And they sit down and eat flesh food. They eat this young calf. And they said unto him, verse 9 of Revelation 18, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now notice that this lead person, man, he said, "I will return unto thee according to the time of life." Time of life, in other words, time to give birth. When it's time to give birth, that's the time of life. And he said, "The Sarah will have a son." Okay, so this is, Yahweh says, "I will return." He said, and he said, "I will certainly return unto thee." So, here's a promise Yahweh made to Abraham. Because of what Abraham did, entreating him to come in, or sit down, and take a break, we'll wash your feet, and we will take... and fetch you something to eat and let you rest yourself. And because of that, Abraham proved that he is the true servant of Yahweh and that he can be trusted. And he said, "So therefore, I'm going to return unto you now in the time of life, and Sarah will have a son." Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, her childbearing days have long since been gone. "Therefore Sarah laugheth in herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also?'" That was my husband being old also. "Shall I have pleasure?" And all she did was just think this in her heart, but she was accused of having laughed. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Yahweh? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now we have two important things here. He says, "Is there anything too hard for Yahweh?" No. We look at this conditions in the world today, in the world, and especially here in the United States, fulfilling prophecy every moment of the day. Now we have an election year. We've got a great movement underfoot for the first time in the history of the United States. We have a great movement. And that great movement is coordinating with the movement of the Bible, with the fifth group of laborers, Matthew 20, verse 6, being called at the 11th hour to head up the great movement, to coordinate with this great movement that Donald Trump started 16 months ago, in 2015. So these two movements are running side by side, hand in glove. And so, it says, verse 15 of Genesis 18, "Then Sarah denied, saying, 'I laughed not, for she was afraid.' And he said, 'Nay, but thou didst laugh.'" And the men rose up and from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Yahweh said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Okay. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So Yahweh, see, he's going to come down to his number one servant that he's appointed heir of the promised land and of the everlasting kingdom of heaven when it comes down in the end time. And all the seed of Abraham. He said, now, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? No, he's not going to hide it from his servants, from his chosen servant, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. So we represent that great and mighty nation today as the leadership of it. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that the Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Well, that was, I don't have children in my household today, but because I took my stand back in 1980, when my first wife rose up against me and my authority, and she was telling my children that they no longer had to obey me because I had a false religion, and that she had made judgment that I had a false religion, even though she was baptized into that religion, and the children. But nevertheless, she said, it's a false religion now. She determined that herself. And now the children don't have to obey me. And so they started disobeying me, and I rose up against them. And we had a showdown one day. And I established myself as the supreme ruler of my household. And my wife said, well, I can't accept that. I said, well, then you'll have to leave. There's the door. And she said, okay, I will. And so she went and packed her things, and she took the children, and she left. But I still remain the head of my household, and anybody that comes, and my wife came back 6 months later, and she says, can I come back if I want to? And I said, only if you acknowledge who is the head of the house. Well, she left and never came back. For she was not about to acknowledge me as the head of the house. Okay, so I had established myself then as someone that Yahweh could trust as his leader. And now this has been about, 36 years later. My children are all grown and gone. They got families of their own a long time ago. And they're still out in the world, the same opinion. That I'm wrong, but who's going to triumph out of all this? Abraham triumphed because Yahweh could trust him. He said, I know that Abraham will command his children and his household after him. That's the reason I chose him and appointed him. That's the reason he called me. He knew that I would command my household after me. Or they could not abide under the same roof. And I had to prove that out. Okay, verse 20. Genesis 18:20. And the Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Yahweh Elohim. Now notice, it's called these people men, three men. And then Abraham called the lead one, he called him Yahweh, the father, Elohim. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now here's Abraham talking face to face with his creator, and the creator of the universe. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place? For the 50 righteous that are therein, That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as of the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And now here Abraham is identifying Yahweh the Father as the supreme judge of all the earth. And Abraham is questioning him. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In other words, Abraham says, in other words, Abraham is acknowledging that Yahweh had made Abraham a judge of all the earth because of his righteousness. So Abraham has been made a judge of all the earth, and Abraham is determined to execute judgment and justice according to the law that he understood and made a covenant with Yahweh to obey and follow 100%. So now he's telling Yahweh, he says, look, to be a righteous judge, you just can't slay the righteous with the wicked. Well, in the first place, what is the righteous doing living among the wicked to begin with? It didn't start out that way. Abraham come out of Ur of the Chaldees, he already separated him from idolatry and from wickedness to bring him into a land that he would show him. And he brought him into the land of Canaan, and lo and behold, there were 10 kings living in the land of Canaan, the promised land that Yahweh is about to show Abraham. Land of Canaan, Palestine, which is called Israel today. There are 10 heathen kings living in the promised land. And so, in the end, Yahweh had to purge out. Abraham's seed had to come into the land 430 years later. They had to come back into the land out of Egypt. And they had to drive out those 10 kings. One right after the other, had to clean out the land. Because they were executing righteousness and judgment in the land. That's the type, folks, for today. Genesis 18:26. And then Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. He said, I'll spare the whole place of them. If I can find 50 righteous people there among all that wickedness there in Sodom, well, I'll spare the whole place for their sake. And what would happen if he found 50 righteous men? He would bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but he would not burn it down. He was to destroy all the wicked that wouldn't become righteous. He was to destroy them out of the midst and save Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Lot and his family could have lived with only righteous people from then on. So in verse 27 of Genesis 18, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Yahweh which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the righteous, 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the cities for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Yahweh. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Okay, end of chapter 18. Let's go to chapter 19. Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this is a prophecy for the destruction of the Seventh-day Adventist. This is Ezekiel 9 in the top. All right, let's look at it. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now notice it started out with three. But Yahweh the Father, he come down and personally met Abraham. And when he got through communion with Abraham and went on his way with his two, then Yahweh the Father, apparently the leader, disappeared. Went back to his church, but he left the two that he came with him to go into Sodom. Okay. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now my lords, S on the lords, my masters in other words, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. The unleavened bread is served at the Passover time of the year on the day of the 15th of the first month, which is the day of unleavened bread. That's the holy day. And it shows where Lot invited them into his household because he was about to have Yahshua's supper. He's about to have the unleavened bread and the wine. And he's about to have no doubt the bitter herbs and the roasted lamb. Okay? And so he invited his guests in, two of them, and they had the Yahshua's supper. Yahshua is one of these two men. Yahshua was a guest in Lot's house. Yahshua was a guest. The Father had gone on his way. No doubt, the Father had gone on back to heaven. Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye unto them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. They said, Stand back, and they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy son, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Yahweh, and the Yahweh has sent us to destroy it. So, Yahweh came with them, he pointed them in the direction, and then he let them go. Verse 14, Genesis 19. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place. For the Yahweh will destroy this city, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons in law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Yahweh being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape unto the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my master. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape into the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, also that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Yahweh rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Yahweh out of heaven. So Yahweh waited for, it sounded like he waited for Lot to get to Zoar, which is about 10 miles away. But in another place, it talks about where his wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, from being led out of the city. But you know what? That pillar of salt that the lost wife was turned to for looking back, it's right there on the Dead Sea. So, I'm saying that Lot's wife got turned into a pillar of salt after she got out of the city, and they got well on their way to the little town of Zoar. And apparently the town of Zoar is right there on the Dead Sea. Sure. That's where Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, she looked back from that angle there. Probably as she got at least 10 miles out, she looked back when Lot was securely in Zoar, and with his family, and his wife looked back to watch the destruction of Sodom. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning into the place where he stood before the Yahweh. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when Elohim destroyed the cities of the plain that Elohim remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Okay, the daughters of Lot, now starting verse 30, comes into the picture. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with their father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. So he is pretty out of it, drunk. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare his son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Okay, the end of chapter 19. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Abraham came unto Abimelech in a dream by night, and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Yahweh, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Now here is Abimelech asking Yahweh the same question almost that Abraham asked, Wilt thou slay the righteous with the wicked? Okay. Verse 5. Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she herself said, He is my brother. And the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Yahweh said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore unto her, restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee? And thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of Yahweh is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when Elohim caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all others, thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed healed Abimelech and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bare children. But Yahweh had fast closed up all the wounds in the house of Abimelech, because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay. Chapter 21. Isaac is born. And Yahweh visited Sarah, and he had, as he had said, and the Yahweh did unto Sarah as he had promised. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which Elohim had spoken unto him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, Yahweh hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Now, the reason I'm reading this today is because we're approaching the antitype of Abraham, getting prepared to repeat the life of Abraham in our day. This started right at 4 years ago when I turned 75 years old myself. That's the age of Abraham when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of a heathen Babylonian empire, to come into the land that Yahweh would show him. Alright, so we're going to continue on here, verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham's mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of that, and because of that bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Now notice she called Ishmael, a 20-year-old man, a child, meaning that a man is not considered old enough to head up the household until he's at least 30 years old. And Abraham, and Yahweh heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of Yahweh called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for Elohim hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And Elohim opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. Now you see, there's just Yahweh. She needed water, so Yahweh opened her eyes, because there was no well of water there in front of her. But when Yahweh created that well of water, then he said, now look over yonder. And he opened her eyes, and she saw it. And Yahweh was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Dispute over wells settled. Verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, Yahweh is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by Elohim that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according unto the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved of Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swore both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, and he returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of Yahweh, the everlasting Elohim. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Okay, we're at the end of chapter 21. And we're going to hold off on chapter 22 until our next service. We're going to begin our next service with chapter 22, Abraham's Faith Tried. And we're going to continue on with this series of the covenant of Abraham's covenant. Yahweh made with Abraham and his seed after him and their generation, because we are indeed in this last generation of Abraham's seed that has to meet its fulfillment and the promises that Yahweh made with Abraham. Well, this brings us to the close of our study. Our contact is at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. We'll click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Whispering Hope. Soft as the voice of an angel, reading a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait until the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow, after the shower is gone. Whispering hope, oh how welcome that was, making my heart in his sorrow rejoice. If in the dusk of the twilight, then be the region afar, will not the deepening darkness brighten the glimmering sky? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day. Whispering hope, oh, how welcome that voice, making my heart rejoice. Hope is in anchor so steadfast, I'll rend the dark veil for the soul. Well, the master has entered, or robbing the grave of his God. Come, then, O come, blood through his shroud. Come to my sad, weary heart. Come, O the blessed hope of glory. Never, oh, never depart. Whispering hope, welcome thy voice.